Hare Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Stop, stop. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribraja Kacharya Stotra Satashri Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj Prabhupad Ki Jai Adanta Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki Jai Nama Charja Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Fame Sakaho Shukrishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittaranda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Chandra Radha Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadip Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Ki Jai, Gangamai Ki Jai, Jamanamai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samavesha Bhakti Ki Jai, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to the assembled devotees, Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. What's the relevant kirtan rule for this class? Someone help Raghu out. What's the relevant rule? No Jayadeities. The traditional, over the last few years, convention of Jayadeity, whichever your deity happens to be, is out. If you can't sustain Hare Krishna from beginning to end for 5 minutes, let someone else chant. Okay? Thank you. You can chant Jayadeity in some other kirtan, but here, no Jayadeities. Deities are included in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's not that we love Radha Madhava less, but that we love Hare Krishna more. Rome. Caesar in Rome. Okay, well, let's see. Sue shouldn't be here, so let's pick him first. Then you can roll out your red carpet.
Hold on.
Okay, we're set. Just about.
This is fine, yes.
Okay, we're on 10th chapter today. If you voted for inside and you showed up late, your vote got lost because we re-voted. At least for today. What's that? The carpenter is confused?
Yeah,
he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the nature of spontaneous life. It's full of joyful confusion. The good side is when the police come to arrest you, they won't know where you are. Okay. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Bhuya Eva Mahabaho Shrinu Me Padamam Vachaha Yateham Priyamanaya Vakshami Hitakamyaya Name Vidu Suragana Prabhavam Na Maharshayaha Aham Adir Hidevanam Maharshi Nam Chasarvashaha Yo Mama Jamanadim Cha Veti Loka Maheshwaram Asamudha Samartyeshu Sarva Papai Pramuchyate Udhir Gyanam Asammoha Shama Satyam Damashamaha Sukham Dukkham Pavo Bhavo Bhayam Cha Bhayam Eva Cha Ahimsa Samata Tushtis Tapo Danam Yasho Yashaha Bhavanti Bhava Bhutanam Matta Eva Pratagvita Maharshaya Sapta Purve Chatvaro Manavastata Madhava Manasa Jata Yesham Loka Ima Prajaha Etam Vibhutim Yogam Cha Mama Yoveti Tatvataha Sovikalpena Yogena Yujyate Natra Sanshayaha Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mata Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha Machchita Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Katayantascha Mam Nityam Krushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha Tesham Satajayuktanam Bhajatam Kriti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te Tesham Ivanukam Partham Aham Agyana Jam Tamaha Nashayam Yatma Pavasto Gyana Deepena Pasvata Arjuna Vacha Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum Ahustram Rishaya Sarve Devarshir Naradastata Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Chaiva Pravishime Sarvam Etadratam Manye Yanmam Vadasi Keshava Nahite Bhagavan Vyaktim Vidur Deva Nadanavaha Swayam Evatmanatmanam Vetatvam Purushottama Bhutabhavana Bhutesha Deva Deva Jagatpate Vaktum Arhasya Sheshena Divyahyatma Vibhutayaha Yabhir Vibhutibhir Lokan Imamstvam Vyapyatishtasi Katam Vidyamaham Yogins Tvam Sada Parichintayan Keshu Keshu Chabhaveshu Chintyosi Bhagavan Maya Vistaren Atmano Yogam Vibhutim Cha Janardana Bhuya Kataya Tripvirhi Shrinvato Nasti Memritam Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Antate Katayishyami Divyahyatma Vibhutayaha Pradhanyata Kuru Shreshta Nastyanto Vistarasya Me Aham Atma Gura Kesha Sarvabhuta Shayastitaha Aham Adishcha Madhyamcha Bhutanam Ante Evacha Adityanam Aham Vishnur Jyotisham Ravirangshuman Marichir Marutam Asmi Nakshatranam Aham Sashi Vedanam Samavedosmi Devanam Asmi Vasavaha Indriyanam Manaschasmi Bhutanam Asmi Chetana Rudranam Shankarashchasmi Vittesho Yaksha Rakshasam Vasunam Pavakaschasmi Neru Shikarinamaham Purodhasam Chamukyam Mam Vidhi Partha Sanatanam Brihaspatim Senani Namaham Skanda Sadasam Asmi Sagaraha Maharshinam Driguraham Giram Asmi Kamaksharam Yajnanam Japa Yajyosmi Stavaranam Himalayaha Ashvata Sarva Vrikshanam Devarshinam Chanaradaha Gandharvanam Chitrarata Siddhanam Kapilo Munihi Uchchashravasamasvanam Vidhi Mamam Ratodbhavam Airavatam Gajendranam Naranam Cha Naradhipam Ayudhanam Aham Vajram Dhenu nam asmikam adhuk prajanas chasmikandarpa sarpanam asmivasukihi anantas chasmi naganam varuno yadasamaham pitrinam aryama chasmi yama samyamatamaham prahladas chasmi daityanam kala kaliyatamaham mriganam cha mrigendroham vainateyas cha pakshinam pavana pavatam asmi rama shastra bratamaham jashanam makaras chasmi shrotasam asmi janavi sarganam arirantas cha madhyam chaivaham arjuna adhyatma vidya vidyanam vara pravadatamaham aksharanam akarosmi tvandva samasikasya cha aham evakshaya kalo dhataham dishvato mukha mrityu sarvaharas chaham udbhavas cha pavishyatam kirti sriir bhakcha narinam smithir medhadritik shama brihat sama tata samnam gayatri chanda samaham Vasanam margashir soham, ritunam kusumakaraha, yutam chalayatam asmi, tejas tejas vinamaham, jayosmi vyavasayosmi, satvam satvavatamaham, vrishninam vasudevosmi, andavanam dhananjayaha, muninam apyaham vyasa, kavinam ushana kavihi, Dando dhamayatam asmi, nitir asmi jagishatam, maunam chavasmi guyanam, gyanam gyanavatamaham, yachchapi sarvabhutanam, bijam tadaham arjuna, natkarasti vinayatsyan, mayabhutam characharam, nantosti namadivyanam, vibhutinam padantapa, Esha tuddeshata prokto vibhuter vistaromaya yadyat vibhutimat sattvam srimad urjitam evaba tattadeva vagachatram mamate jamsa sangbhavam atava bahunaitena kim gyatena tavarjana vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam sena stito jagat Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishad Su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sangvade Vibhuti Yoga Nama Dashamo Dhyaya Okay, yeah. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitadesha Tadana. Yeah, you have choice. If you like the shade, we've got shade for you. Everything is here. This is the preview for the universal form in which you'll find everything present at once. Okay. Yesterday we discussed at length Api Chet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mama Nanyabhat Sadhureva Samantavya Samyag Vyavasito Hisa Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvach Chantim Nigachchati Kontiya Pratijani Hi Name Bhakta Pranashchati. That section we discussed, how a devotee is always to be considered a sadhu, but how it's expected also that he'll quickly come back to the standard of dharma. Otherwise, Prabhupada said he doesn't have a very high grade of Krishna consciousness. We'll just briefly touch on the verses that we didn't touch yesterday. Mami partha vyapashritya yepi siu papa yonia striyo shudras tata vaishas striyo vaishas tata shudras pepi yanti paramgatim. The theme is that anyone can come to Krishna regardless of their birth, their background, Kirato Huni Andra Palinda Pultasha. That verse is there in second canto. Doesn't matter. Everyone's eligible for going back to Godhead. There's some question that's sometimes raised. I just got it in my email today about the editing of this verse. Did Srila Prabhupada really say women as a separate category? And the answer is that yes, he did. Is Papa Yoni a separate category? That there's women and sudras and sinful people, or as edited here, that the women are also counted as Papa Yoni? I think Baladev and Vishwanath, if I'm not wrong, count them separately. Prabhupada counts them as a category of Papa Yoni. It's not just here, but you'll find lectures or conversations that back up that point of view. So it's not just an editorial quirk here. I know there's a respected saintly person who's tried to essentially apologize for Prabhupada, not apologize in the sense of saying, I'm sorry. You know what apologetics is? Who knows what apologetics is? Apologetics, especially in the Christian world, is the task of justifying your scriptural teachings. We have a teaching, and then, well, how do you justify this? That's called apologetics. Loosely, that's what apologetics is. So apologetics, it's been extended to other communities other than Christian. Basically saying, here's why we're right, or here's how you can understand it to be true. So there's one saintly person who's essentially undertaken an apologetic enterprise by saying, well, Prabhupada couldn't really have said this. We know that Prabhupada always taught the truth as it is, and since this is not really true, he couldn't have said it. So we can appreciate the spirit of wanting to present Prabhupada as above all errors and all, what would you say, uncongenial appearances. But he said it. And anyone who's got a database can verify that. So it's not to criticize anyone. We appreciate that the motive is good, but it just doesn't seem to be upheld by the evidence. Yes?
It's interesting that Prabhupada followed Baladeva so much, and then you're saying on this point he didn't follow Baladeva.
He doesn't always follow. Sometimes he takes his own turn. You find a lot of Baladeva. Sometimes he's following Vishwanath. Sometimes he's following Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sometimes it seems he's just breaking out on his own. So this is the privilege of the translator or the commentator, that he can follow the sources he wishes to follow, and he can present his own understanding of the text also. Or we may find that some other commentator has given it that way. Baladeva and Vishwanath are not the only commentators on Vaishnava commentators on Bhagavad Gita. Well, I checked with Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. You can read it either way. It admits of either reading. Okay? Yes?
What was the error again?
Well, it's not an error as far as I'm concerned, but there are those who feel that it's unfortunate that women are counted among the Papa Yoni, those who are born of those who are of lower birth, which is the way it's punctuated here. They're included among the Papa Yoni, and they think no, it should be women and Papa Yoni. But Prabhupada did it this way, and on more than one occasion. One of the more interesting criticisms of the second edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is that I've repunctuated it in such a way as to make women seem to be included in among the Papa Yoni. There was a big letter published on the internet, you know, how could I dare do that? What makes it interesting is that the first and second editions are identical.
Uh,
translation of the first?
The punctuation, the first word for word, letter for letter, punctuation for mark for punctuation mark. The first and the second editions for this verse are identical. Yes.
I'm not quite clear. Different acharyas have different opinions?
Yeah, they read it differently.
But is there no sastric breakdown of Papayoni if women fit into this category?
Well,
or
it's
not?
Grammar. If I say something like, what would be an example of something that could be written to men? If I say that Mayapur is a really green place, you can take that to mean that there's a lot of stuff growing here, or that the devotees are very ecologically conscious. Right? It could be, with our current understanding of green, it could mean either one. Excuse me? Or you're immature, yeah, greenhorns. They're immature. There are different meanings of green. So somebody says green means that they're ecologically conscious. Someone says green means that they really grow a lot of stuff. Someone says green means that they're kind of new around here and they don't really know what they're doing. So it's not that there's only one definition. You may, and you know, I could give a whole class about how the devotees here, it's great that they're growing so much stuff. I walk around the gardens, I see things growing. Or I could give a different class and say it's great that, you know, some of the devotees are starting to use solar power instead of something else. Or I can give a class and say, you know, these devotees have been living here for 15 years and they still don't understand, you know, even the most basic local customs, or, you know, they how to live even in Mayapur. So you can make any point and be justified and say, well, you know, I'm just commenting on green. So the acharyas do that. They comment from different points of view. They read the text differently. We were discussing yesterday that someone's reading a verse to be bhakti yoga. Prabhupada is reading a verse to be all about bhakti yoga. And someone else is reading it to be all about nishkama karma yoga. It means you can read the verse differently. There's more than one way to skin a verse. There's not only one way to read it. Is that okay? Yes.
What's the reason why women are lower?
Why are women lower? Well, let's see. If for no other reason, they're always getting messed up. They're always getting the short end of the deal. Ask them. You know, we want our rights. Men are always beating on us. You know, da 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 da. It's nothing new. This has been going on since the beginning of time. The women have always been getting the bad end of the deal.
Let us speak of different grades of human life.
Why are women lower? Yeah, there's different reasons. One, Prabhupada said, in fact, what he said, they have less intelligence. And he weighed out brain substance in his argument about that. From another point of view, women are more emotional. We came across that in the discussion in the other class about the punishment of Ashwatthama, where Krishna says, you know, he's the burnt remnants of his family. He's the most heinous son of a Brahmin. Kill him at once. And so they tie him up. Arjuna ties him up and brings him into the camp. And Draupadi said, let him go, let him go. He's a Brahmin. Which is sentimental. Prabhupada said it was good. For a woman to be sentimental like that was okay. But it's sentimental. And Prabhupada said a man wouldn't think that way. He's a Brahmin. What kind of Brahmin is he? But he's the son of our teacher. So women have a different nature. They're more sentimental, easier to trick. From one point of view, I mean, I don't know. Men get tricked a lot too by women, but women get exploited right, left, and center. This whole women's liberation thing has wound up exploiting women like crazy. They're dependent. Independent woman is either an oxymoron or a woman in difficulty. Women function when they're taken care of. Dependent. Less philosophical in general. Now, that's not to say you can't have the outstanding women, but the rule is more materialistic. You know, men will be interested in philosophy, and the women will be interested in furniture, clothes, children, material security, those sort of things.
But is there a verse where Krishna says this?
Is there a verse where Krishna says this? Sri Shudra, not Krishna, but Sri Shudra Dvija Banduna, Trayina Shruti Gotra. The women, the Shudras, and the Dvijabandhus, unqualified descendants of Brahmins, are unqualified for studying the Vedas, for example. Many such places. Naivam Svatantra Arhasi, Manu says, women should never be given independence. So there's a lot of stuff there, we're not just shooting off the top. The Brahmins' wives. The Brahmins themselves, how wonderful that they're only women and still they've surpassed us. It means the men are supposed to be better. But these women, because they were completely devoted to Krishna, became better than their husbands. There are many, the whole Vedic literature is full of stuff indicating that women are just not in the same category of equality. They're not in equal status with men. That's the modern Western idea. It's not the Vedic idea.
This is an issue that I would want more explanation. Take for instance, is there some research out there that correlates with the Vedic?
What kind of research do you want?
In terms of the brain, whether the brain...
Now, the brain substance thing tends to be, the research tends to be against it. It was something Prabhupada heard from his doctor somebody or other. Dr. Arquat at Scottish Church's right. College. It may have been cutting edge science at the time. These days it's deprecated. That's the nature of science. It goes this way, that way. From what I've seen on the research, how much comparative brain substance they have depends largely on body weight. Depends on body weight rather than other things. As far as I understand, though, Prabhupada wasn't trying to make an absolute point on brain weight, but was simply backing up the point that men and women are just not categorically the same. And it's a sort of modern illusion that they are. This, of course, becomes a large topic fit for a multi-speaker seminar lasting a week, but...
Vidyananda Maharaj said in the class that it can sometimes be an advantage because women, because they don't need philosophy, they can just directly engage in devotional service, but men need to understand it.
Yeah, that Prabhupada comments someplace, wherever there's religious gatherings, women gathering in greater numbers. So there are... The main point is that doesn't matter. You know, what do you care? What it is, that women are this or men are this or these people are this or those people are that. The final point of the verse is not these people are better, those people are better. It doesn't matter. Why are you fighting for, you know, you don't want to be in brackets, you want to be up a notch. When Krishna says it doesn't matter. Everyone can attain perfection. That's the final point. The point of the verse is not, well, I'm sorry, but Stri is in the same category as Sudra. That's there. But the final point is, doesn't matter if you're a Stri or a Sudra or a Dvijabandhu or anything, if you become Krishna conscious, you can attain perfection. That's the point.
It also states Kalo Shudra Sambhava.
Yeah, that
so
also.
So that means we should also be upset and say, what is this, you know? Everybody gets lumped in with the working class, with the Shudras. So in the same way, then it's a no-brainer to argue the point why this women thing, if everybody in Kali Yuga is anyway counted among Shudras, then we're all the same.
Yeah, you can have your equality there rather than, no, women are better. No, everyone's stupid in Kali Yuga.
That was a comment.
Okay, anything else about this? It's a point in your practical preaching that may require some tact sometimes. Srila Prabhupada didn't choose to deal with it with tact very much. He just laid it on the line. You can try that too if you'd like. Yes, so there's no female soul or male soul. Soul is soul. Yeah, it's just we're talking about the body. Soul is the same. Or a man in this life can be a woman in the next life, or vice versa. So that's just the clothes. Soul can go back to Godhead. Yes?
I just wanted to share this. Women in the prison thing. I think some of the women also, they are not in support of that. I met some professor at New York, at a women's conference, and I was raising this issue. I was actually trying to support the idea, but then to also bring in the Vedic approach to it. So she said that, I mean, it's true they're making all this women liberation team, but she gave a practical example of herself that she does most of the house duties, even as the PhD, the husband is not the PhD, but then she does almost all the work in the house. Now, what is this question of this liberation that they're talking about? That in practice, we are seeing that we do everything in the house. I mean, so she raised that issue and then completely get me dumbfounded. So they are practical. Some of them are really practical about it.
There's a strong anti feminist component among modern women. There's a lot of women who, in fact, somebody sent me a blog. I don't have the address with me, but it was a blog. There's a woman whose name is Anna, who's a Jewish lady living in Israel, and her whole the basic theme of her blog, or a large part of her blog, because it's all about her, but the big theme of the blog is what a drag the feminist thing is. And speaking as a person who'd tried it, who'd done the whole thing full on, the short skirts, the loose affairs, the whole thing, and someplace along the line really figured out that, whoa, I'm being taken for a ride, and just switched gears and went completely traditional and loves it and found that there's a whole community of women out there who see it the same way. That we're just being tricked and exploited and have gone back to traditional values as being so much more rewarding, so much more natural, so much more congenial to their own temperament, to their dignity. You know, I mean, what's your women's liberation? You're free to show off all your body parts as if you were a hunk of meat. You know, that's your liberation? You've been fooled, lady. So there's so much to be said for traditional values. And, you know, like part of this American thing is that, you know, the Americans are in Iraq because of the way they treat their women. You know, the terrible way that the Muslims treat their women. The Muslim fanatical, theocratic terrorists treat their women. But when you go to the Middle East, so often you'll see that the women are treated with great respect and dignity. And you'd see these Western women coming on the scene dressed like something out of a James Bond movie. And, you know, it's like, you poor girl. Poor girl. So there is a lot to be said for the traditional values. And a lot of women are... a lot of women just never left that, and a lot of others are realizing that, even after having tried the other thing, it doesn't work. And so they've... and you'll see as it plays out, you know, if women are as good as men, then women can be ditched very easily because they can take care of themselves. You can marry her, enjoy her, and then ditch her and let her take care of herself. She's, you know, independent. And these are some of the rewards for this feminist approach to things. So even on college campuses in the Ivy League, that is to say the high class, most prestigious colleges, there are movements of women who have gone the other way and said, you know, I'm not your plaything, I'm not your toy, I'm not, you know, free merchandise. I'm not meant for that. These are not my values. Shall we move forward?
Some of these topics are like,
excuse me?
Some of these topics are like
endless.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of those endless topics. Good luck with it. The next verse, Kim Punar Brahmana Punya Bhakta Rajarshiyastata Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapya Bhagastramam. The purport of this verse is that if even the women and the sudras and Vaishyas can attain Krishna, what to speak of the Brahmins and the saintly kings? Punya, they're pious. These other people, they came from a lower background. So if even the lower background people can do it, then what to speak of you? He's telling Arjuna, you're coming from a Kshatriya family. If they can do it, you can do it. Just as we'll say in India, we'll say, you know, if we Americans can take to Krishna consciousness, what to speak of you? Because you're coming from we're coming from a sinful background, you're coming from a pious background. If we can do it, certainly you can do it. That's the sort of argument that's being made here. And anityam asukam lokam, that talks about how nice the material world is. We won't further discuss that at the moment. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mami Vaishasi Yuktvaivam Atmanam Matparayana. You're familiar with that, so I'm not going to dwell further. Wow, having gone almost half the class, we'll move forward. So in the 10th chapter, Krishna says, I'm going to speak to you something further that I haven't spoken before. And he gives the He says that nobody really knows my origin because I came before them. I was here first, so what do they know about my origin? I was here before they were. That's very briefly what he's saying in the second verse. The person who knows me as the unborn, beginningless source of everything is freed from all sins. Just by knowing Krishna, one becomes freed from all sins. In the fourth and fifth verses, there's a long list of qualities that you may find in this material world. Good qualities, generally. Not all. Bhaya, fear, is not so good. Dukkham is not so good. Oh, good and bad qualities. And Krishna says they all come from me. That's the point. There's a big list. They're explained what they are. But matta eva pratagvidha, that's the point. They all come from me. All these qualities of living beings. Yes? Yeah, but good qualities or bad qualities, whatever qualities there are, if someone's tricky, that comes from Krishna. If someone's nasty, that comes from Krishna. If someone's saintly, that comes from Krishna. If he's in passion, that comes from Krishna, and ignorance and goodness. It's all from Krishna. That's the point. Whatever state you find someone in, whatever qualities you find him with, it comes from Krishna. Is that okay? Yes?
Maharaj, sometimes the Christians, they argue that God has created the bad part, then he's not all good.
It's bad from your point of view. Just like the prison, from the point of view of prisoners, it's a terrible place. But from the point of view of the government, it's as necessary as the college. Is that okay? From the other point of view, you disobey God's rules, you get put in prison, and then you say, this is a lousy country where they put people in prison and make them suffer. What's wrong with this country anyway? You can't win. All the different sages and demigods come from Krishna in the sixth verse. Then Krishna says, Etam vibhutim yogam cha mama yobeti tattvataha. So we call paini yogena yujyate natra sanshaya. Those who are convinced, those who know factually about my opulence and mystic power, factually engage in devotional service. And there's no doubt about it. By knowing about Krishna's glories, you'll say, let me serve Krishna then. Just like Rukmini. She heard from Narad Muni about Krishna's glories, because Narad sometimes used to visit the palace. So she just decided, I don't want to marry anyone else but Krishna, because who else has qualities like his? So when one hears about Krishna, naturally the result is that you want to serve Krishna. Yeah.
So they're convinced of his mystic power. They know he's a great mystic, but they don't...
He's just a mystic, that's all. They don't actually... Because only a devotee will understand. The sinful persons, even those seeing, they won't understand. Where there's some quotation from Nectar Devotion and comes and says, well, yeah, maybe he killed some water snake.
He's dangerous.
Yeah. That's envious. Prabhupada told that story about envy, about the high court judge. You know that story, huh?
Yeah.
You all know that story?
No.
There's some two lawyers are talking together, and one says, did you hear that Mukherjee has been posted to the high court bench? He's been made a high court judge. The other says, Mukherjee? No. Not that guy, not Mukherjee. Come on. No, I've seen it. He's sitting on the bench, actually. Then he must not be getting paid. That's envy. Somehow other they have to tear him down. He must not be getting paid. Somehow they have to tear him down. So if Krishna, whatever you say good about him, it's, you know, it's either exaggeration or misrepresentation or what's so good about that, or yeah, but look what else on the other side. That's how they deal with it. That son of a milkman. That's Duryodhana. We don't know what caste he's from. We don't know if he's a Vaishya. We don't even know whether he's the son of Vasudeva or the son of Devaki. He has no qualities. So Saraswati, of course, was turning it all around and making it glorification of Krishna. But his idea was to tear Krishna down. That's the envious person. Okay? Now I'm in duality, of course, as usual. I guess we should take our break now. This is a good time to take our break. And then we can come back. It's actually about, so what would you say, about 5 after, roughly speaking? Okay.
Anybody be ready to today?
I was wondering about this verse here. The 7-5.
7-5.
Seems like, you know, it's me. I was just wondering the background of all this, because basically there's a lot of changes being there.
Yeah, well, see, Prabhupada, there's a synonym, utilized or exploited.
Hmm.
That's dharyata can mean exploited or it can mean upheld. And whoever they took this translation from said sustaining. Mm. But Prabhupada said exploiting. So it's one of those things from the manuscript. Mm-hmm. In fact, here it is, living entities who are exploiting these inferior energies for different purposes and the superior energy. Yeah, it's right there in the purport. Mm-hmm. Living entities who are exploiting these inferior energies are the superior energy of the Lord. But then the other one's there too. The cosmic manifestation has no power to act unless it's moved by the superior energy. So from that point of view, they're also sustaining the universe.
I see.
So both things are there.
Okay. So maybe one day you write a book explaining the story of all these things in the background. That'll be an interesting little book.
What I'm really doing right now is we found the original book that I wrote these things, wrote the corrections in. So I'm taking the digitized version and making little notes what was what.
Like who was involved and what did they do?
Yeah, well, we're doing that actually for all the books. In we're making like you have an audit trail for finances.
Uh-huh.
We're doing an audit trail for the editing. It's a big project, but we're working on that.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram 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 Ram, Hare Hare.
Prabhu, give me Nand Kishore Prabhu. Anyways, so
Outside, this will be yours. Just see here, man. You can see it from here.
Thank you. Thomas Prabhu?
Thomas Prabhu is not here. Balram Nityananda Prabhu is not here. Another. Neo Prabhu is not here.
Oh man, he shut his computer off there, but I Should we get back into action? I don't have to give you 15 minutes every day, do I?
We're ready.
Okay, we are ready.
abstinence will take some time. A little bit. Welcome back, those of you who are back. A point that I skipped over, but which is worth making. Oh. A point which I skipped over, but which is worth making. Okay, Baba. Hey, it's me or you. In the that last verse of the ninth chapter, of course, is the one where some infamous scholar has tried to divert one's attention to something other than Krishna, the unborn something or other within Krishna. And Prabhupada's purport speaks to that. In the first paragraph, this deha dehi vibhedo yam neshre vidyate kuchit. There's no difference between Krishna himself and his body. Prabhupada personally wrote to me and sent me that quotation and said, add this, while the book was in production. Add this in this place. He really wanted to underline that point, substantiate that point, that the scholar was really wrong in dividing Krishna from his transcendental form. 934, last verse of the ninth chapter. Deha dehi vibhedo yam. It's there in the first paragraph. He sent that and said, add it. They didn't make it, okay. Okay. We now come to the four verses that are sometimes known as Chatushloki Gita, four essential slokas, verses of Bhagavad Gita, and we will look at them. The one thing I can say in advance is that Srila Prabhupada has really quoted extensively in particularly this eighth verse, demonstrating from so many different shastras the conclusion that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna says, in the Vedanta Sutra, it said that the Absolute Truth is the source of everything. Janmadhyasya. That's the definition of the Absolute Truth, the source from which everything comes. And here Krishna says, I'm that source. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. It's a cross, you might observe. First he says it frontwards and then he says it backwards. I'm the source of everything, everything comes from me. In case you didn't get it the first time, he comes around and, you know, like mowing the lawn from two sides, you know. It really makes it clear. Iti, knowing this, iti matva, bhajante mam. If one actually understands Krishna, one engages in the service of Krishna. Buddha, bhava samanvita, an intelligent person. And bhava samanvita means with great intention, or in all respects, or in great ecstasy. Prabhupada sometimes translated it that way, bhava. Bhava means just the stage below prema. So buddha bhava samandita. I don't have anything else to say about this at this point. Any questions?
My question is, what's the point of someone what's the point of if not knowing who the father is, what would be the reason behind it of not broadcasting who the father is?
Why don't they broadcast? I'm the source of every, all of them, and the creator of them. To himam na vijanito, but they don't know me. Mama maya vimohitoho. Yeah, they don't know me because they're bewildered. Muyanti yat surya. Even the demigods sometimes forget. That happens. So what's the purpose? Why is it that way? Why should it be hidden? Sometimes it's hidden, sometimes they forget, sometimes they remember. They're also engaged for material activities, so material activities means forgetfulness. Vijanito. Vijanito means scientifically know. They may know something, but they don't know perfectly. Just to interrupt you for a second, the verse has a context, and the context isn't given. So it's hard to comment on, you know, what the verse is saying in other than the point that's being made. It's hard to comment on it without having the context. It's just like taking a sentence out of context and saying, what does it mean? Well, you need the context. Something else. All the demigods, all material ingredients, all the living entities. Sarvasya means of everything. Sarvam, everything. Everything comes from Krishna. No exceptions. Machchita madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam katayantaschamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Well, okay, form little groups of three people and discuss this among yourself for 10 minutes. Okay? I'll tell you what to discuss. Discuss how this practically applies in your own activities and how you can apply it still more. Is that okay? Just three, 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 three. I don't mind if it's four. Just make little groups quickly. No, not computer research. Do the work. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and it all. I'm supposed to write something?
No, just have to go.
No books, no books, no folios, just talk.
Old fashioned talk.
Old fashioned talk. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hello?
Thank you.
We can improve. That's not what we can improve. Go back to the basics. Go back to the basics.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been doing the zombie lab. Forget about anything. Rounds, eating, going to the bathroom, riding all day, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, sleeping here. be like, yeah, do this work. And I said, oh my God, yeah. No time. And I just went with you. Yeah. Yeah. So,
thank you very much. Would some of you like to let us know what you came up with? We'd get great bliss from having you enlighten us about this.
Yeah, our group, we discussed a little bit the challenge of finding people who hear about Christianity, because not everybody wants to hear about Christianity. Although, the Lord Kapila says, Satan Pusang Dhamma Babiri Sambhato, Babanti Vitkarna. To the ear and the heart, it's like a tonic. Like Hawaii, where I live, where even devotees come to forget. Keep that. So, Prabhu, Honey Prabhu said when he gets back to the Delhi mission, he's going to start a bhakti group there and keep it going, keep the momentum of seven of two and going, so he doesn't forget.
Good.
Also, while talking about the glories of the Lord, the best way to learn is to talk more about it so that that delves down deeper in you as an understanding of the subject matter.
Devotees ask me a lot how you study, and I never studied because I was always editing the books, and I can't say, well, you study by editing the books. It doesn't help them much. But one practical thing is, whatever you've read, if you talk about it, then it sticks. If you just read it, it's not the same as if you talk about it. Even, you know, just something. I know some people, they'll tell at breakfast what they heard at the class. Or others, they'll tell something else what they've been reading. And it locks it in. When you talk about it, it locks it in much more than just reading it and it's in there someplace. Locks it in. Study in pairs, yeah. Make war with a lot of people, eat by yourself, and study in Paris. Something else.
We were talking about when you got in book distribution, and you meet people who would like to talk, but it's all about themselves, their business, their line of work, etc. Mm. And we're using that comparison to say how a devotee likes to always talk about Krishna, his service to Krishna, chanting his names.
Nice. What else did we get from some other groups?
Thank you. We'll discuss very quickly here. And we see a hidden meaning in this verse in the power of association of the devotees. Mm. That you can study and get an X amount of intellectual perception or whatever perception, but then you can exponentially increase that perception by the association. It's like an accelerator in our realization.
Mm.
And the personal realization is that to have this knowledge into yourself, you should teach this. That's how the knowledge becomes useful and becomes established in the heart, for sure. Because you always having to give out this knowledge, it becomes, it robs on you somehow, because it's coming to you.
Mm. Yeah. Nice, thank you. Another group, another point? Yes?
I was just remaining from the Buddhism Guru's lecture. There's one person who was addicted to chant the holy names 24 hours. Since it happened, he has to go for this natural cause. So when he was catching his slow time, he was chanting continuously the holy name. He was going to pass the call. So his son was seeing it. He told his father, you are doing food which is not suitable at that time. You better stop your chanting and continue your process. But he said, I cannot control it. I was not able to control it. Just coming.
Thank you. Ongoing. Some other point?
Maharaj, in the group
we were discussing about how sometimes when we get engaged in some services, sometimes in some kind of lectures, when we hear, we forget about other things. We heard examples of how we engage in more hearing on Ekadashi days, and we can go on hearing for 3-4 hours. One example we discussed was in Pune, we have got some camps, so got some yatras wherein we have got 4 or 5 lectures in a day. Each lecture lasts for an hour and a half or 2 hours, with a lot of interspersed question answers and kirtans and all. And how devotees enjoy all that, that after 3 days, 4 days, they feel an emptiness within their heart, that they are really missing something.
Speaking, yes.
Shloka defines that bhakti is not the one alone mostly. It is sharing with other devotees. In whole India system, we have Harikathas in the village system.
In our?
Harikathas.
In which system?
In the Indian
system. Yeah, Indian system.
Every village they are doing Harikathas.
Harikatha.
But because your modern civilization, we became spoiling.
Spoiling it.
And we were talking about Vrindavan. They are not scholars. They're all, all the devotees, they're all everyday thinking about Krishna. Krishna did in the day, what the feeling them in like that. How simple bhakti is. Sharing.
Simple sharing. Hari Katha. Thank you. Something else.
We thought that this is why Srila Prabhupada created this time.
Yeah. ISKCON is meant for Harikatha, Harikirtan, Mutual Enlightenment Society. Prabhupada gives the example in, I believe it's Easy Journey to Other Planets, of scientists who have their conferences and share their discoveries. You know, that scientists are eager to share with one another that I found this property of this element, or I found this meaning in this text of a classical something or other. The professors and scholars get together and they enliven one another by sharing their discoveries. So Prabhupada said the devotees have the same spirit in relationship to Krishna. They get excited about, like Prabhupada said about the cowherd boys, come home and, so what did Krishna do today? Oh, Krishna did that? Yes, oh, Krishna is so wonderful. So they enliven one another. This is going on in the spiritual world also.
I've heard the example that ISKCON is compared to a barrel of unpolished gems. They're just wound up like this, and then the rough corners are knocked out when each of the gems knock into each other, and that way they're not polished. And I was also thinking that I heard a class by Urmila Mataji where she was saying that Prabhupada standardized the training. He organized the time of the day from 4:30 to 9, so all of us could get together, do our rounds together, do greet the deities together, and in that way organize a time where all of us could
Actually, our whole program is hearing and chanting as far as possible. The pure devotees, Prabhupada mentions that, in fact, that he starts off, this is what the nature of a pure devotee is. Much chitta, he's always thinking of Krishna. And why? Madgata prana. He's given his life, he's surrendered his life to Krishna, so naturally he wants to talk about Krishna. Just like a person who's given his life to political activities or social upliftment, as soon as you meet them, that's what they want to talk about, because that's what they've given their life to. So for the persons who've given their life to Krishna, that's what they want to talk about. The pure devotees, they don't like it to get together and have to hear mundane talk about politics or whatever. They want to hear about Krishna. Otherwise, it's like something that you have to put up with, this mundane sound. They want to talk about Krishna. And so when they get together, then it's really an opportunity. Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, when Parikshit Maharaj had questions about Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami was so happy. Yes, your questions are glorious because you've asked about Krishna. So both parties were enlivened, and everybody else in attendance was enlivened. Bodhyanta parasparam, enlightening one another. Buddhi, so bodhyanta, giving enlightenment. Paraspara, paraspara means mutually to one another.
When you said that pure devotees are mostly engaged in speaking about Krishna, it came to mind to me that many of the people in respectable positions in ISKCON, sometimes it's good for them to be aware of modern, I guess, happenings and modern lingo, so that they can kind of preach and speak to people in the same way that they can understand. You know, they're up to date with social happenings. And
I gave a whole class about that called Preaching from the News, because sometimes we think that we really better read the New York Times every day or check into a couple of internet news sites every day and maybe follow up on a whole lot of so that we'll be with it and know how to relate to people and talk to people. Mm-hmm. And so you wind up spending half your time on the internet keeping up with things. And there went your time for Krishna Katha. So So I had a theme about how you keep up with modern lingo and how you keep up with modern events. You know what it is? Go out and preach. Go out and preach, and you'll get all the modern lingo. Book distributors know all the modern lingo because people are always throwing that at them. And if you don't know a word, you say, "What does that mean? What's ditzy mean?" Just ask them. And when they ask you, "What do you think of whatever it is?" you say, "Well, I didn't know about it. What is it?" And they'll give you a 3-minute capsule or half a minute capsule summary. You'll know as much as you need to know. And if you need to know more, ask the next guy when he says, "What do you think of?" "You know anything about it?" "Yeah, I know a little about it. Could you tell me, you know, what do you want to know?" And he says, "Well, you know, what about da 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 da?" Now you know more about it, and you didn't have to invest any extra time. And because you sat there and listened to him for a minute, he says he probably thinks you're a pretty cool guy because you're listening to him mouth off, and you can sell him a book.
Not only that, but you'll hear it from the ground. When I hear, you know, the Vox Populi from the ground all the time. I'm not hearing some fancy spin from some editorial, which might carry my mind away.
Yeah, there's a Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers of the great United States of America, said that a person who doesn't read the newspapers knows more than the person who does read them, inasmuch as a person who knows nothing is better off than a person who's misinformed. Being in the publishing business, I know a lot about how so-called news sources digest the facts for you in advance, how they filter, they're giving you point of view as much as they're giving you information. And the whole world is, you know, if people were really enlightened from reading the newspapers, how come they're so stupid? How come the wool's being pulled over their eyes and they don't know what's really going on? You chant Hare Krishna, you'll know, you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll know more about American politics than by reading the New York Times, really. And even if you don't, if you remain ignorant of your whole life, of how it works out there, still you came out ahead because they spent their life immersed in Maya, and you spent your time not worrying about the Maya that they're in, but thinking about Krishna instead. That is to say, not worrying about the particulars of the Maya they're in, but enlightening yourself about Krishna. So you meet them, and they're just another fool. They meet you, and they say, "Wow, where did you get all this knowledge?" Because you know what they never found from reading Time magazine. Is that okay?
Yes.
Half the battle is doing it, because Maya can sap your time in little increments. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there, and pretty soon you have no time for talking about Krishna. And worse, if we talk about non-Krishna, that spoils our taste for talking about Krishna. So it requires some conscious effort. That, all right, I have some time, here we are, what should I talk about? Should I just let my tongue wag? Or worse yet, shall we do some sadhu-ninda to keep the gears oiled? Or is this an opportunity for talking about Krishna? And if you're reading or you're attending the classes, you can very often, I mean, I curse you now, that when you attend classes where people are telling you, you know, what they read in time, you know, telling you mundane katha, you'll know what they're doing with their time. Not exactly a curse, and doesn't have to stick, but, you know, sometimes you sit in a Bhagavatam class and it's like 90% the latest news and 10% Srimad Bhagavatam. It's maybe a hint about how the speaker spends his time. Now, it's not infallible. There may be very strong devotees who are really talking about Krishna, but they've got a topic that they're hot on. But if you fill your time with Krishna Katha, you'll have a lot to talk about. It'll sort of spill over. You're so full of Krishna Katha that when you meet somebody, it spills. And if you're not reading about Krishna, not hearing about Krishna, not talking about Krishna, not serving about Krishna, then something's got to fill up the time, and it becomes maya. So the pure devotees, they spontaneously just want to talk about Krishna. And the practicing devotees have to really focus on it, that my business, if I'm serious about Krishna consciousness, I should talk about Krishna. Why should I waste any of my time talking about other things not related to Krishna? Is that okay? Nitya. Nitya means regularly, and nitya means always. Katyantashtamam nityam. And the result is, it's not that, but tushyanti cha ramanti cha, they enjoy. Yes?
Where does it mean that the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in you?
What does it mean? What does it mean?
Constantly thinking about them.
It's just a poetic way of putting it, actually. Much chitta. The Sanskrit is just much chitta, means me conscious. That's really what it means. Consciousness of me. Those who are... It means they're Krishna conscious. Mat chitta. They're me-minded, Krishna-minded. But that's a nice poetic way of putting it. Their thoughts dwell in me. But that's what it means. Anything else? Yes? Oh, yeah. A lot of the translations are not necessarily taken 100%, but borrowing a little here, borrowing a little there. Prabhupada said that was okay. But sometimes creates problems with the word-for-word meanings when they don't match. It's more true in the first edition than in the second edition, but the translations borrow. They borrow less in the second edition. Good chance that that comes from somebody else. I'd have to look at the manuscript to tell you, but some of the fancy language that people really like the most, and they say, you know, but Prabhupada's poetic language is so beautiful. It just gets across his realizations, and they don't realize that they're talking about language borrowed from somebody else's book. Happens that way. And it's explained by Hayagriva himself, the original editor. The whole story is told in his book, The Hare Krishna Explosion, how he was asking Prabhupada so many questions, especially to get the translations right. Finally, Prabhupada said, just borrow from some other editions. And he said, I can't do that. That's plagiarism. Prabhupada said, why plagiarism? He said, it's Krishna's words. Prabhupada expresses very nicely at the end of the purport that the realized souls take pleasure in hearing these transcendental topics just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. Nobody has to give them an order. Now you associate with one another and enjoy it also. They spontaneously enjoy. So when one becomes full in Krishna consciousness or immersed in Krishna consciousness, then it takes pleasure spontaneously in these wonderful topics of Krishna. Okay. Tesham satatajuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. The meaning is very simple and sublime also, that those who are satatajukta, always engaged in the service of Krishna, bhajatam, rendering service, priti purvakam, with love, priti purvakam, in loving ecstasy, with love for Krishna, dadami buddhi yogam tam. I give them buddhi yoga, transcendental intelligence, yena, by which mam upayanti te, they can approach me. You may be a great scholar, you may be a great reader of books, but even if you're illiterate, if you're always engaged in the service of Krishna, then Krishna will help you. It's Krishna who gives enlightenment. What is that? Kidhunoti suhrit satam nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavatasi. He's within the heart. It's from Krishna. Matas smitir gyanam apohanam cha. It's from Krishna that the knowledge is coming. It's from Krishna that the knowledge is coming. So when one is engaged in the service of Krishna with love, Krishna reciprocates. Prabhupada gave in one purport that one who's worshipping the deity is intimately studying all the Vedas. And just by worshipping the deity, they're studying. Just by serving, they're studying. It's not only reading books. Reading books is also serving. Reading the books is serving, worshipping the deity is serving, cleaning the temple is serving, cooking is serving, keeping the accounts is serving, distributing books is serving. All these different services, when we do them with love and affection for Krishna, Krishna gives more intelligence how to come to Him.
Taking rest when you're not fine is also service.
Taking rest when you're not
fine.
Yeah, when you need to take rest, that's also service. Now, we shouldn't make that our main service. But when you need to take rest so that you can serve, then that's also part of your service to Krishna. Yes.
This verse sounds like a further commentary on the Krishna said, Hare Krishna and Sevaya. Inquire from him submissively and render service. This is how it works.
Yeah. How does it exactly work? It's not exactly book knowledge, where you just study and you get it and you can regurgitate it. It's practical realization given by Krishna. Therefore, the non-devotees, they read, and sometimes they're great scholars. Fantastic. But they don't get that knowledge, that intelligence, by which to go back to Godhead. They get the intelligence by which to get a graduate degree, another degree, a teaching position, write a book. That kind of intelligence they get. But the intelligence by which to go back to Godhead, that they don't get. That they don't get, because they're not devotees of Krishna.
Generally, when people, intellectual people, women, they say your Prabhupada books are not for intellectuals. Like, your Prabhupada is doing the ninth book of the last, ninth, just as a young man, a boy and girl take Krishna association. This statement, they feel that these are not like intellectuals.
It is intellectual. It's not that intellectual just means a lot of five-syllable words, and saying, well, this passage resembles in many respects a similar passage in the Rig Veda, where this similar verb is used, although it's used in a different... That's not intellectual. Or it is intellectual, but that kind of intellect doesn't help us go back to Godhead. An intellectual is a person who can make something understandable to a person who's not intellectual. That's one capability of an intellectual. Not the only kind of intellect, but the real thing is, it's not unscientific, it's not unscholarly. These are exalted concepts. How it is that a devotee relishes Krishna Katha. And it's a very practical example. Give me a better example. It's a wonderful example. And it's not for lack of intellect that one is able to give such examples. The whole book is full of evidence from Vedic knowledge. It's full of deep conclusions from the acharyas and the tradition. And somebody says it's not intellectual because it didn't have enough footnotes for him.
And one more comment is that, like in our purpose book, you can see that Krishna is not mentioned like Sri Krishna Bhagavan. He's mentioned directly as Krishna. Like even Bhagavad Gita.
That's all right. That you mention Krishna always as Sri Krishna Bhagavan. And you're busy maintaining your family. And Krishna just says, that Prabhupada just says Krishna and spreads the glories of Krishna all over the world. So you can decide which Krishna appreciates more, your Sri Krishna Bhagavan or Prabhupada spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world.
We comment that the people later on, after reading Prabhupada, they accept, but immediately when they read, the initial state, not.
That's their misfortune. Or that's their neophyte thing. Unless you follow their verbal formula, you're no good. Anything else? Sri Krishna. Yeah. They'll say Lord, Lord, but they don't serve. There's something in the Bible like that. There's something in the Bible that those who say just Lord, Lord.
Oh, yeah, those who call Lord, Lord.
They're basically, they're not my devotees.
Yeah, those who do something.
Yeah, it's your service. It's real easy to say, you know, America's great. It's a great country we live in. It's the best country. Then when they ask you to do something for the country, it's a great country. You know, I love it. Well, you do something well, you know, it's a great country. Yeah, but what are you going to do? So we see practical service. And what is that practical service? Glorifying Krishna all over the world. Bodhyanta parasparam, creating a society of devotees for glorifying Krishna. It's no small thing.
So we see that most of the time the attitude, the intention is what Krishna's looking at. Where does that fit into formality like addressing with proper names? You know, maybe somebody isn't very knowledgeable how to...
That's there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the story of Gop Kumar, when he was just a beginner. In the very beginning of the process, he was trying to find something and spiritual, find out what's going on. He was a very fuzzy-minded guy in the beginning. He was really, we would say, spaced out. And he went to... Somehow he wound up in Prayag, in Allahabad. And the Kumbha Mela or some Mela was going on. And there were so many people doing different things. And he saw that there were these people who were chanting and dancing and jumping up and down. And some of them were laughing and some of them were crying and some of them were rolling on the floor. And he called out and said, "Hey, you guys, what are you doing? Are you like a show or something? And hey, you guys, you're making such a racket. You're making so much noise here." And in that kind of language, he was calling out to them and saying, "Hey, what are you guys? What are you doing anyway? Making such big noise and rolling on the ground and everything. I mean, where are you guys from? You know." He had no idea what it was, and some of the Vaishnavas were laughing at him, like, what a jerk this guy is. And some of them were stern with him and, you know, "Don't you ever..." These are all the Vaishnavas, they're devotees of the Lord. "You don't know what you're doing. Don't you ever speak to them that way again." And some of them were just very merciful, and so he really didn't know. So in the beginning it may be like that we don't know, but because he was sincere and he was interested, so he made progress. He figured out what was going on. He took the good instruction. And in the end, he went back to Godhead. He attained perfection. In the beginning, we find that the newcomers don't know what to do, what not to do, and they need some instruction and some tolerance also, that anyway, he's a newcomer, you can't expect that he'll know everything. We have to be very tolerant with them, and gradually they'll follow all these things.
That's something I really want to know exactly in terms of the translation, the sequence. If we go to text 29 of chapter 9, we have Samhamsa Bhutishu, and in the translation, it begins with "I envy no one," instead of "I'm equal to all."
Prabhupada's translations and other people's translations are like that. It's hard enough to translate the meaning of the verse. To have to follow the same word order as the Sanskrit is asking too much. There are slavish translations where they try to follow the grammar also of the Sanskrit, and it becomes terrible. Some of our early translations in almost all of our languages have some of a tendency to do that, to try to follow sort of word for word. But advanced translators, they get the thing across in the most suitable words. It may mean you have to, like lots of times, you'll get something as da 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 da. Similarly, da 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 da. And so the sentence structure is as this, so that. But Sanskrit really loads it on. You get like 5 or 7 analogies all piled together. And in Sanskrit, I'm sure it works wonderfully. But in English, the English is just not set up to accommodate that. So then you break it up and you say, such and such and such and such and such and such happens. Similarly, such and such and such and such. And just as such and such. You break it up so that it works in English. You have to take your translation and make it work in the target language. By the time you're done with the translation, you got the whole thing. Whether you got this first and that second, this first, that's less important. Anything else here? No, because we're moving along. Then this is the last of them, isn't it? Yes, it is. Tesham evanukam partham aham agyanajam tamaha nashyami atmabhava sto gyanadipena bhasvata. This is really the same point, elaborated. Krishna says, I'm in their hearts, and I drive away whatever agyana, whatever lack of knowledge, whatever ignorance is there in their heart. Aham, I do that. The darkness of ignorance. Nashyami, I obliterate it. I get rid of it. Atmabhavasto, I'm within their hearts. And Gyanadipena. Gyanadip means with the light, means the light of knowledge. Bhasvata, the shining light of knowledge. With that shining light, I drive away their ignorance from within. So it's dependent on Krishna's mercy. It's Krishna who enlightens the devotees. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavi. It's Krishna who enlightened Brahma from within. It's not just by his austerities and his this and his study. He really didn't get it that way. It's when he pleased Krishna, and Krishna enlightened him from within. Then his ignorance was driven away, then everything. So it's completely dependent on Krishna, and Krishna, anukampartham. Anukampa means compassion, mercy, sympathy. Krishna is very sympathetic to the sincere person who's trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, trying to serve him. So from within, Krishna helps him. So Prabhupada comments, even if someone's attached to a spiritual organization, but he's not very intelligent, so he doesn't really know how to make progress, but if he serves Krishna, Krishna gives him the intelligence. And we've seen that sometimes, that people who are not very sharp materially, they come to the Krishna consciousness movement, and Krishna gives them all sorts of intelligence. Huh? And then sometimes we see someone leaves Krishna consciousness, he becomes a fool again. The same person who was so brilliant becomes a fool. I can think of one person, he was the most brilliant person, and then he you know, left the practice. And then even the most simple devotee was able to defeat him, defeat the nonsense he was saying. He lost his intelligence. So, matas mitya gyanam apohanam cha. Krishna gives intelligence, he takes away intelligence. So if we're always engaged in the service of Krishna, sincerely, serious, Krishna will give the intelligence. Is that okay? Any question there?
But even if the devotee does not take advantage of their rituals or their spiritual master, if they're sincere in devotional service, he's helped by Krishna and yourself.
Yeah, even if you're not reading the books and studying, and Krishna will help you. That doesn't mean, okay, I just found out I don't have to read the books, I don't have to attend the class, Krishna will do everything. It's not like that. But even, just like that Brahmin, he was trying. He didn't know how to read, but he got the order, you read this book every day. So he was turning the pages at least. And Krishna was giving him the intelligence. How to develop Krishna consciousness. How to become situated. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you're the scholar of Bhagavad-gita. You've understood. And you're reading, why are you you're looking through it? Okay, you're illiterate, but why are you crying then? You can't even understand what the book says. He says, yes, but I see the picture of Krishna and Arjuna. How Krishna is so kind that he's become the sarathi, the charioteer for his devotee. And I begin to cry. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you've understood. So many big, big scholars, they can't understand, but you've understood. Because you're a devotee. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti. Rahasyam yetaduti. You can understand.
But it's also mentioned that if he doesn't take advantage of the spiritual master, or he doesn't...
Just like our spiritual master has written so many books. But somehow if we don't take advantage of all these books of instruction, but we just seriously serve, still Krishna will help us. That's the idea.
How these four shlokas are very important to the whole concept of yoga. Like 10 points are taken in Bhagavad-gita. Some concepts can develop and
yoga. It's very crucial. This is how you understand Bhagavad-gita. Now, I don't know actually who's taken them and said these are the four verses. Krishna doesn't say, now I'm going to speak to you the four verses that are the essence. But our acharyas, somewhere along the line, have selected that these four verses are crucial. And we see, practically...
Ten points?
There's no 10 points, 3 points, something that you have to get here. Just they've picked out these verses as being fundamental or crucial or essential.
You're God. But I'm Brahma. It was so powerful, the chapter spoke.
Yeah, there's a lot in the rest of the chapter that we're not going to talk about today for lack of time. In the next verse, Krishna declares, Arjuna declares, now I understand that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. Why? Because all the authorities are also upholding it. It's not just Arjuna's personal friendship, but Devarshi Narada Stata, Devala Vyasa, Asita Vyasa, Swayam, you yourself, all the authorities have said it. And you've also confirmed it. Sarvame Tadritam Manye, Yanmam Bhadasikeshva. So I accept everything you've said. Prabhupada said, this is the way of accepting Bhagavad Gita. Not, I like the second chapter, I'm kind of, you know, there's some stuff in the third chapter I'm not really going to go with, but fourth chapter is pretty good. Not like that. Sarvametat, all of it. Ritam, manye, I think it's all true. I accept all of it. I probably said in toto, completely. But that's Arjuna's example. He's the original student of Bhagavad Gita. He says to Krishna, I fully accept everything you've said. I fully accept. Then Arjuna, Krishna accepts Arjuna's request. He tells about the various vibhutis or opulences by which he can be remembered in this world. And at the end he summarizes that wherever you see anything great or powerful, extraordinary, beautiful, Srimad Urjitamevava. That's just coming from Mamate Jomsa Sambhavam. It's coming from a little spark of my energy. Atava Bahunaitena Kim Gyatena Bhargana. Then Vishtabyaham Idam Krishna Mekam Sena Stitojiga. With one fraction of myself, I support the entire cosmic manifestation. So you've asked to know about my opulences. I'll tell you a few of the big ones. But I can't tell you everything because there's too much. And at the end, here's the summary. Anything that's wonderful, glorious, splendid, beautiful, it's just part of my energy. It's a display of my vibhuti, my specific powers, my specific glories. Any other questions? Okay. Goodbye. See you tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.